Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Single Mom Success Podcast, episode 28. My son walked up the stairs, looked at me, and he said, "Mom, I think I have leprosy." Heather Wells and the Single Mom Blog present Single Mom Success, the place for single moms to find support, inspiration, and the path to their own success. Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's Single Mom Success Podcast. I hope you are doing awesome today. Today's podcast is about my absolute, like, I'm getting ready to freak out. So I am getting ready to travel out of town for business. And this will be the first time that I am allowing my teenage boys to be home alone while I am out of town on business. And I'm a little, like, paranoid, worried, you know. I am, as you have, if you've been following my podcast at all, you know that I am a fairly overprotective parent. Comes with the history of having a, you know, child who was hurt, and, you know, just that panic of always worrying about something bad happening to your child. And I think that anybody who's ever had anything happen to their kid, you get overprotective. So this will be my first time away where they are left for a consecutive amount of time, like a significant amount of time. They've been left home alone. They've spent time, you know, hours, you know, a full day while I'm, you know, out working, or if I'm at the hospital with, you know, one of the other kids, or, you know, just doing things, running errands. And so, you know, it's not that they haven't ever been left by themselves. It's just the first time that it will be overnight and me out of town. And I figured this was a good time to test the waters. They are going to be 16 this year, and so, you know, but it's something that, you know, we've waited to do, or that I've waited to do. I have other friends who have had, you know, they have teenage children, and they've been left home, you know, alone for periods of time, you know, prior to this. I think at 13, you can leave them alone, and I don't know, I guess it's there's not really a set like age. It's not like voting or drinking where, you know, at this age specifically you can be left home alone. This is the first time I feel that we're prepared for it, we're ready. And the only reason I say that is, you know, last year I went out of town, and for a convention. I was in Phoenix, and I had a family friend watch my kids. And it was just my boys. My daughter goes with her dad, so it's not like I'm leaving my teenagers in charge of my 8-year-old. That's not going to happen. Because I think I wouldn't even get on the plane before there would be a problem. So I did. I left my kiddos with this family friend, and he's watched them before, and he's the one who usually stays and watches the house for us. And he does a great job. But at this point, my boys are fairly self-sufficient. So at this point, really, all the dude has to do is just be here, right? Make sure they're up for school, make sure they get home on time, and are in bed at a decent hour. And make sure they're not eating junk food all day long. But this last time, you know, when I called to check on my boys, and I called, you know, to see how everything was going, my son... I was like, "So how's it going? You know, is the guy that, you know, is he there?" And they said, "Well, yeah, he's here, but, you know, he's been, like, taking a nap for a while, or, you know, he went out with his friends," which is fine, because, like I said, my boys are self-sufficient as long as, and those were the guidelines I set along. Just make sure that they are up in time, that they go to bed on time, and that they're eating, and that they've done their homework. Like, you know, and other than that, they're self-sufficient. So if you want to go and do something for a few hours and come back, you know, it's totally fine, because they are used to that and they're okay with it. So when I called and checked on them, they said, you know, everything was fine. Either the guy's been taking a nap or he's been with his friends or, you know, yeah, we're just hanging out. There's really nothing going on. So when I got home, my kids were like, you know, my son was like, Mom, you know, really, you could have just left us alone. I mean, we pretty much took care of ourselves. We, you know, ate when we were supposed to. We got up on time. I mean, he really didn't do anything just except be here and make sure we were all right. So I thought this time would be a good time to, you know, test and let them kind of spread their wings. But I am freaked out about it. And I've talked to several people and they're like, yeah, that's a big step. And we can understand why you're, you know, a little paranoid. So I think as a parent, this is me starting to dive into that. You know, my kids are growing up and I'm so not ready for it. Like, I just, you know, I look at them and I know they're teenagers and I know, you know, obviously my one son has, you know, significant special needs, but there's still the fact that they are going to be 16 this year. Just, it doesn't seem real to me, if that makes sense. I had somebody post something on Facebook the other day where it said something like, I am not prepared for the reality that this, you know, children who were born in 2000 will be 16 this year. I'm not having it. You're 10. And that's how I feel. Like, they should be 10. My son came up to me and is talking about, you know, Mom, you know, when are we going to talk about, you know, me, if I'm able to get my driver's license and stuff. And I'm like, ah. And I think to myself, I'm like, God, like, was this how it was for my parents? Because I remember as a teenager, just like, I wanted to drive. I didn't stop and process and think about how nerve-wracking it must have been for my father to teach me how to drive and then watch me get my driver's license and just let me go and not think about, oh my God, she could get in an accident. You know, all of the bad things that could happen. And I don't know if that's something that, like, my dad worried as much about with me because, again, I'm super protective because of what happened. Like, almost losing a child makes you almost constantly fear the possibility of it happening again because it is the worst feeling that you can ever imagine. It rips, it's like somebody ripped your heart out and, like, showed it to you. It is horrible. It is the worst feeling ever to have a child almost die or, you know, actually die. I can only imagine it's surpassed by actually losing your child. Like, that would be the most, that would be worse. But it is so hard to come back from that and just be like, oh, la-di-da, go ahead, climb the tree, la-di-da, go ahead and, you know, jump on the trampoline, la-di-da, go ahead, because you stop and, like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I personally sit there and think, God, this could happen, that could happen, this could happen, that could happen, and I fear so strongly having that happen again. So, yeah, I live with this constant fear, and I know that that's probably not healthy. In fact, I'm fairly certain that it's not. But it's something that I'm having to work on. So I have this thought of, like, oh my God, my son, they're going to be, you know, he might be driving and I'm going to have to, like, watch him drive away and not completely worry the entire time. And I know that it gets better because, like, you know, when the very first time I, you know, decided, okay, you guys are old enough for me to leave and have you stay home. I'm going to run to the grocery store. Like, it was just little increments, right? I'm going to go to the grocery store. It's literally across the street. If anything happens, I'll be right back. But, and then obviously it got extended and it was, you know, several hours or I'd run or I'd be gone all day or, you know, whatever the case may be. And they were fine, right? But it took me some work to get to that point. So I, you know, and I'm guessing, you know, that this is what every parent goes through. But I worry all the time about stuff like that. And so here's an example. And, like, my son, when I first was leaving and running errands without them and leaving them home and letting them stay on their own, the rules were, if you want to go outside, you got to go out back. You're not to be out front because, you know, I don't want anybody to steal you. I don't want to worry about you getting hit by a car. I don't want you getting into other people's yards without me here to, you know, if something happens, the neighbors can't come to me and say, hey, your kid just knocked over all my trash cans or whatever. So those were the rules. And Also, specifically, there was a rule that my children were not to climb the neighbors' trees for insurance purposes. For, you know, our neighbors didn't necessarily want our kids up in their trees because if they fell, you know, they're liable for it or whatever, right? Not to mention, you know, they may break the tree or ruin, you know, something. Who knows? So anyway, those were the rules. And there was an incident where my son, he decided that while I was out running errands with my daughter, that he was going to go ahead and go outside. So my daughter and I are at Michael's getting, you know, the umpteen million craft supplies that we don't probably need because Michael's is evil. We were at the store, we were at Michael's, and I got a phone call from the neighbor up in the cul-de-sac, and it took a second for me to process who it was, and they were like, you know, hey, we're calling because, you know, your son fell out of the tree up in the neighbor's yard up here and has hurt himself. Like, he was sitting in the, like, he was screaming bloody murder before anybody heard him, I guess, for several minutes. Because everybody was in their homes, and the neighbor whose tree he was in was not home. So he fell out of the tree and, like, hurt his foot. And I was like, are you serious? And they're like, yeah, he seems like he's in a lot of pain. We put him in the truck and brought him down here. He's on the couch, but I don't know if you want me to stay with him or if we should take him to the emergency room. I said, ugh, and I got on the phone with him. And he was, you know, kind of screaming, and I was like, you got to calm down. I need to know how bad it is. And he's like... And I said, well, what happened? He's like, well, I was up and I was climbing the tree. And that's all I needed to hear. I was like, the tree that you have been specifically told not to climb? That tree that you were told not to climb because you could fall out of it and hurt yourself? That tree? And he's like, yes! So I get home and I look at his foot and... Now, the thing that you got to understand, my son is this huge, huge drama king. And he is a huge hypochondriac, okay? Mind you, this is the son who one night was watching House with me. He used to watch House with me. I had to ban him from watching House, okay? My son would watch House, and then he would go to bed, and probably about 10, 15 minutes after his bedtime, he would come up the stairs, and he'd be like, Mom, Mom, my heart is beating fast, and this is wrong with me, and I have this and that. He would basically start thinking about all the things that could be wrong with him and give himself a panic attack, is basically what he would do. And so he's like, my heart's beating so fast, and I'm breathing, I can't be normal. And I was like, that's because you have freaked yourself out. There is nothing wrong with you. You don't have a fever, you don't have any spots, you don't have a rash, you don't have this, you don't. There is nothing wrong with you. Go to bed. But he would get himself so worked up, to the point where one night, I finally had had enough. My son walked up the stairs, looked at me, and he said, Mom, I think I have leprosy. And I laughed so hard. To this day, I tell this story because it's so funny because he was just so serious about it. Mom, I think I have leprosy. And it was because we were watching a show on House and the girl had leprosy or some form of leprosy. And I was like, you know what? That's it. You cannot watch House anymore. You are not allowed to watch House. You are banned from watching House. So... You know, so he's always been, like, there's, you know, the smallest thing became the hugest thing, right? So I looked at his foot, and it was swollen, and I thought, okay, well, let's see how it does. We'll put ice on it and give it a little bit and see how it feels. We'll give you some ibuprofen, and, you know, if it's still really bad in an hour or so, we will take you to the hospital and see. So, we waited, and he sat on the couch and, you know, just laid there with the ice pack on. And after a couple of hours, I took a look at it again and it had started to turn purple. So I said, all right. So we took him into the emergency room and sure enough, he had fractured his ankle and his heel. So he fractured his heel up into his ankle. It was like the weird, it like went up from the back of his ankle around and into his heel. And so they, you know, put him in a cast and or walking cast and everything and said, well, you need to go see an orthopedist, which we did. And you know, by the time we were able to get in to see the orthopedist, you know, he said, well, it looks like it started a healing. They did an MRI. And he said, if you had come to me even, you know, a week ago or, you know, 5 days ago, he said, I would have told you that your son would need to have surgery in his heel. But it appears to be healing okay, so I think he'll be all right. But he was in a cast for a period of time and then a walking boot and on crutches. 3 months he was out of commission because of this. So, you know, and of course the whole time I'm like, see what happens? Look, you were specifically told not to play out front when I'm not home. You are specifically told not to climb the neighbor's tree, and you did it anyway, and now look what happened. So, you know, and I still rub it into him to this day. He's like, yeah, I was out for, you know, this much time from parkour. I couldn't do parkour. I said, and why was that? He's like, because I didn't listen to my mom, and I climbed a tree, and I fell. There, are you happy? So I still worry about that. Like, if I'm not here, you know... And that time I was just at the Michael's store, which is only about, you know, 15, 20 minutes away. Now I'm going to be in another state, which, you know, Arizona's not terribly far, but still. So I'm a little panicky, but at the same time, I also, you know, I'm trying to acknowledge my overprotectiveness and try and keep myself in check a little bit more of... You know, they are old enough, they can, you know, worse come to worse, cook meals for themselves in the oven, or not the oven, the microwave, you know, and they could cook in the oven. My concern would just be that they get super distracted because they're teenage boys. So I think we're going to ban the oven cooking until, you know, maybe next year while I'm away. But, you know, and they're good kids. They don't get into trouble. They don't have a lot of friends. I don't worry about them throwing a party while I'm gone. Not that our dogs would be okay with that. You know, they would pretty much revolt, I think, if anybody came in the house while I was gone. So, you know, I'm working on it and working on, you know, trying to be able to let go a little bit and acknowledge and realize that, you know, they can't stay 10 years old forever as much as I wish they could. They're getting to be little men, and that's sad and scary. And of course, then my daughter, you know, she's wanting to be older too. And she was like, well, can I just stay with the boys while you, cause she doesn't want to go to her dad's while I'm gone. I said, well, no, honey, you're going to go with your dad's. She was like, I don't want to. And I said, well, you certainly can't stay with the boys cause you guys would end up killing each other. It's just not possible. You know, I'm just getting to the point where I'm trusting the boys to be left alone. There's no way that I'm ready to take that leap of trusting the boys to be left alone with you for several days. That's just not possible. I would end up, you know, getting the phone call before I even got on the plane saying that they duct tape you to a chair or something. So, but, you know, I think that as parents, it's, like I said, I think it's something that we all struggle with, and I just don't know if I'm over struggling. I guess that's not even really a term, but like if I'm, you know, too worried, you know, because of my history, or if this is just normal worry. And like I said, I'm starting to think about all this stuff about, oh my gosh, you know, having them drive for the first time, you know, or my son potentially driving for the first time and being able to, you know, not completely panic about it. And I think about that because my first day driving with my driver's license, I got into an accident. I remember this now so vividly. And I'm sure my father must have just been absolutely horrified getting that phone call. The very first day I had my driver's license, I drove to school with my friend, and we left for lunch, and we were coming back, and I remember exactly what happened. My friend left her soda on the little center console. I drove like an 80-something Toyota cargo van. It was the worst possible van to, like, vehicle to own in Colorado. It was rear-wheel drive, four-cylinder. Like, this car wouldn't go 50 up a hill if you were behind it pushing. It was ridiculous. Like, it had no power, no traction, rear wheel drive. It was horrible. And so when it snowed, like, I had to be super careful how I was driving. If I was on a hill and I had to stop, if there was a light at the hill, at the top of the hill, and I had to stop, I was screwed. I was basically, my options were to turn around and go back down the hill. That was my option. If I could even do that. So, but anyway, so I had this, like, it was like a center console that was flat, but it wasn't a cup holder. It was just this flat surface. My friend put her soda on it, and I turned right, and her soda flew into my lap. And so I looked down to get the soda out of my lap, but kept turning right at the same time, and I ended up hitting two signs. And one of them sort of swiveled around and came in and shattered my passenger side window where my friend was sitting. And all I know is, like, I slammed on my brakes and I was sitting there with my eyes closed, like both hands holding onto the steering wheel, just absolutely freaking out, because the only thing I remember seeing is this sign coming through the window at my best friend's head. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, I just decapitated my friend. Oh my God, I just decapitated my friend. And I sat there like that. It was probably only for a couple of seconds, but it felt like forever before my friend said, Heather, turn off the car. And I was like, okay, she's not dead. She's not dead. She still has her head. Everything's fine. And, but then after that, I was so panicked. I was like, oh my God, my dad is going to kill me. It's the first day of my driver's license. And I literally just got in a car accident. Thankfully, I didn't hit anybody else. And I just hit signs. But I was freaked out. And my friend was like, she's like, Heather, just tell him that you swerved to miss a cat. Tell him you swerved to miss a cat. And that's why you hit the signs. And I was like, okay, what color was the cat? And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, my father will ask, what color is the cat? I'm like, if I'm going to lie to my father, I need to have the details down because he's going to ask. I know it. And of course, you know, this whole time, you know, I had told my dad I swerved to miss a cat. And, you know, I don't think he ever truly bought that story. And in fact, I'm fairly certain he didn't. But I deluded myself into thinking that I had gotten away with it for quite some time until I was an adult and realized, yeah, he probably knew I was talking out my ass. But he came down and he's like, the first day, he's like, I can't believe this. This is the first day you haven't. And I was just mortified. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't know. And at the same time, also, I hit two signs and I got two police cars, two fire trucks, two ambulances, right? It was ridiculous. There was this massive, and I was like, seriously, don't you guys have, like, people who are actually hurt? To, like, I'm fine. There's no other people injured. My vehicle's even fine. The signs are a little bit worse for wear, but, you know, they'll be all right. Like, everything's good. You guys are fine. But it was just this huge drama. And it was the first day I had my license. So I think back to that and I'm like so paranoid of my son, you know, potentially driving. But I guess, like I said, I guess everybody's got to go through this. But it's, you know, the growing pains that you go through. And I have got to admit, I'm scared out of my mind. I'm not ready for my kids to be adult type people. I'm not ready for the, okay, what if they go off to college and now they're on their own and they have to make their own mistakes. And I am so scared. And I guess all parents go through this, and it just sucks that I'm having to do it right now. And I don't feel like I should be going through it, but I am. And it's very, very hard, you know. And so I think this is the time where, you know, every parent ends up going back and having that conversation with their parents. You know, it's like, how did you let go? Were you as scared as I am right now? Were you as worried as I am right now? And, you know, how did you deal with it? What did you do? And it's just this weird dynamic and this weird shift that I'm having to come to, because, you know, I still mentally, like, I'm like, I remember these things. I remember high school. I remember getting my driver's license. I remember my graduation. I remember moving out and then having to move back in. You know, I remember all of those things like they were yesterday. It doesn't seem like I should be getting ready to go through it with my own kids. It doesn't, like, I guess, I don't know. That's maybe it's up my wanting to deny how old I really am. They can't grow up because I don't want to grow up. That's what it is. They can't grow up because I don't want to grow up. I'm not ready to grow up. I'm not ready to be the mom that has a teenage driver. I'm not ready for that at all. But, you know, ready or not, here it comes. And I'm scared out of my mind. But, you know, it's also kind of exciting. It's exciting to see, you know, the people that they are becoming and, you know, hopefully the lives that they're going to have ahead of them. And I still just want them to be 10. They need to be 10 again. I can't do the... I'm not ready for the teenager and the adult-y stuff. I'm just not. I'm not ready for it. I need somebody to make the world stop so that they can stop growing. I want my babies back. But it's pretty cool to see the adults that they're becoming. So, I don't know. I'm of two minds. Well, anyway, I hope that you enjoyed this podcast. It wasn't instructional or informative. It was just me kind of venting some of my worry and my stress, you know. And if you're a parent who, you know, you already have teenagers and you've gone through this, I would love to hear, you know, any funny stories. Don't tell me anything scary. I don't want to hear any stories about, you know, yeah, I was freaked out and then this happened in my, like, unless it's going to make me feel better, I don't want it. But, you know, please, I would love to hear, how did you cope with it? What did you do? You know, was there just a lot of late night worrying, or, you know, did it go smoothly? Did you make it out to be worse than it really was? You know, I would love to have somebody, you know, help me out with that. Because I am definitely freaked out, and I would love to hear, you know, if you're going through it right now, if you're like, yes, I'm there with you, I am going through it right now, I would love to connect with you, because I need all of the help and support in that area I can get. So please, you know, go to thesinglemomblog.com. If you're not listening to it on my actual blog, please go there and leave a comment. I would love to hear your stories. If you are not subscribed to the podcast, please do. We love having more subscribers. I love, you know, connecting with people and hopefully helping people along the way. And like I said, if you're going through the same struggle I am, you know, let's go. We'll do it together. We'll suffer through the teenage years and the stress and the worry together. So I hope you have a fantastic day, and the rest of your week, month, year is fantabulous, and we will talk again soon. Take care. Have a great day. You've been listening to the Single Mom Podcast, the place to go for support, encouragement, and maybe a few laughs along the way. Please also make sure you head on over to the Single Mom blog for more great stuff for single moms. We have resources, free things to print out, great articles. Can't wait to see you there. Be sure to leave feedback and comments, because we love hearing from other single moms. And if you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.